Hey, we are the Heat Changers. And are everywhere.
Once again, we find ourselves in the heating season, especially here in the Northern Hemisphere. Around a year ago, I posed the question to some friends, asking if they were concerned about the energy crisis and its implications in their day-to-day routines. I think it was only at that point that they fully comprehend the specific realm of the solar industry in which I work.
I think many of us just knew that you were solar, but didn't know about solar thermal technologies at all, let alone how much they contribute to energy security and emissions reduction. Now I know that they've been supplying renewable heat to millions of households and also many different types of businesses around the world. And I would say that solar thermal is sort of a hidden game changer.
That reminds me of the term hidden champions that are highly successful companies, some even world market leaders in their specific niche, which however are practically unknown to the general public. Often they are based in small towns, but are also strongly export-oriented.
Hello, Marisol. First of all, I would like to thank you for giving me this chance to take part in this podcast. I think the most important thing at this point is to emphasize the advantages of solar thermal energy again and again and again, and to call solar thermal energy by its name.
She is Katrin Sprenger, CEO of the German company Accotech, a manufacturer of solar thermal heating systems based in Brandenburg in Germany. The company has been producing highly efficient solar thermal tube collectors in Angermünde and sells them worldwide. Accotech offers solutions for single and multifamily homes, supports the planning of concepts for commercial applications such as paint shops, hotels, and local and district heating networks.
That's so close to Berlin. We should go and visit. It would be great to see how solar thermal manufacturing works.
That would be awesome, and I think I can arrange that. By the way, Accotech turned 15 years old in 2023. It is a highly innovative company with products 100% made in Germany, has been awarded the Zukunftspreis Brandenburg and the Innovationspreis Berlin. It installed the largest solar process heat project in Germany in 2020, and it has a strong customer base in Germany and abroad, among many other aspects. So definitely a solar heat champion.
Yeah, I mean, certainly the energy crisis made us more aware of how important heating is and the energy source that we use. You know, I gotta say though, I'm still a bit confused with all the options that are available. What should consumers like me consider in order to make the best decision for ourselves?
The renewable heating market is competitive, and it can be challenging for people who aren't experts in energy or heating to figure out the best option. Our previous guests have emphasized that there is no perfect solution, but that they see solar thermal as a great team player. So when you combine it with other renewable heating technologies, it can create a fantastic, sustainable, and reliable heating system. So I believe we should be thinking of building a dream team for heating.
Heat pumps, for instance, only contribute to climate change if the electricity they are powered with comes from 100% renewable energy. And as we all know, that is far from the case. Solar thermal energy, however, already provides heat that is 100% CO2-free and saves one-to-one fossil fuels. So I think there's still a lot of educational work to be done about solar thermal energy, but overall it is moving in the right direction.
So this year has been a full one, especially when it comes to policy initiatives and the files meant to advance renewables, such as solar heat. The Renewable Energy Directive, the Energy Efficiency Directive, and the Emissions Trading Scheme for Buildings are all closed files now, which means the next step is implementation at the national level. So they have been approved and closed at the European level, and the next step is to implement them at the member state level. Now, all of these files will help advance the adoption of solar thermal across Europe. So that's great news for us and for our sector. As we have mentioned in previous episodes, solar thermal allows member states to fulfill various targets, such as the overall renewables target, the renewable heating and cooling target, renewables in district heating or industry, and even the energy efficiency one.
I'm glad to hear that Alexandra and Solar Heat Europe's efforts in these areas have been taken to the next level. I guess they will have to work now with the associations and policymakers in like Italy, Spain, and France, and even here in Germany, on how to get all their goals accomplished. And what about the other directive, the one on solar roofs that we were discussing the last time?
That's the Energy Performance of Buildings Directive. That features a critical initiative for our sector, and that's the solar mandate. So this is not closed yet. This is about to close. It is very important to state that this solar mandate, how it comes from the European level, is that it includes all solar technologies.
And when you say all solar technologies, that would be solar thermal, solar PV, and solar PVT, right?
Last but not least, another topic of great importance at the European level this year has been the competitiveness of the European Union in producing and deploying renewables to achieve its energy and climate goals. And this was addressed through the Green Deal Industrial Plan, including the Net Zero Industry Act, which identifies and recognizes solar thermal as a strategic net zero technology. Now, this was a proposal from the European Commission, and now the co-legislators, the European Parliament and the Council, are in discussion. They are discussing the proposal. Now, all these files and initiatives have given us a solid foundation to position solar thermal as a key technology for a net zero future in Europe. Solar Heat Europe is eager to continue raising awareness and increasing support for the technology. And the market data shows us that our sector, the solar thermal sector, is ready to deliver on these ambitious goals.
I want to commend and express my appreciation for the dedicated team at Solar Heat Europe. Their hard work and dedication have been instrumental in elevating the profile of solar thermal in Brussels. Kudos to their exceptional commitment.
Let's say that most of the proposals are in line with also what we were advocating for as Solar Heat Europe. One of the most important things is that the overall renewable target has been increased compared with what was before. We had a campaign with other associations in Brussels asking for 45% of renewables by 2030. And that has, let's say, almost been achieved, because now the official target of renewables, which is stated also in the Renewable Energy Directive, is mandatory target of 42.5% with an additional aspiring one of 2.5%, so a total of 45%.
2030 is around the corner, so we'd better get as much energy from renewables as possible. If I remember right, some of the companies that we got to know in previous episodes offer integrated renewable energy solutions, meaning that they have several products in their portfolio besides solar thermal collectors, right?
For quite some time, the solar thermal industry has operated within a specific niche. Companies in Europe, particularly in Germany, have predominantly focused on manufacturing solar thermal collectors or components. Alternatively, some have emerged as system integrators, offering solar thermal systems for a diverse range of users, be it residential, commercial, industrial, or within the district heating sector. A notable example, by the way, is Accotech, which successfully combines both aspects. However, a compelling transformation is taking place within the industry. There is a noticeable shift towards the integration of other cutting-edge technologies that harness renewable energies like PV and heat pumps into the portfolio of these companies. This signals a dynamic evolution of the business model, expanding beyond the confines of solar thermal specialization to merge as versatile energy system solution providers.
I think this is a way that can strengthen the industry. Solar thermal energy can be sensibly combined with all sorts of other heat producers, including heat pumps. Therefore, it definitely makes sense to think in this direction. We at Arcotech are also working on it. But of course, you need competent partners so that, for example, the system consisting of heat pump and solar thermal brings the corresponding added value for the customers. Nevertheless, it is important to concentrate on your core competencies, which in our case is the development and production of solar thermal collectors.
Next year is an important one as well, with EU elections taking place in June. That means a new European Parliament, that means a new European Commission. Now, one of our key priorities next year is to profile solar thermal better and strengthen its position with the next generation of policymakers and politicians. Before the elections, it's important for us to finalize the Fit for 55 package, namely the Energy Performance of Buildings Directive.
Decarbonizing buildings stands out as a critical imperative in the energy transition, given that they contribute to 40% of the energy consumption in the EU and are responsible for 36% of energy-related greenhouse gas emissions. Yet, the discourse often circles back in the seemingly prevailing solutions of electrification and heat pumps as the go-to methods for achieving this ambitious goal.
85% of the primary energy is needed for heat, so heating and hot water, and only 15% for electricity. So why should I first produce electricity and then convert it back into heat when I can use the heat straight away with solar thermal systems? And finally, the point again, when it comes to the decarbonization of buildings, the heat pump only provides the heat without CO2 if it is powered by 100% renewable electricity. Moreover, not all buildings are suitable for heat pumps. Only in the new building sector it is different.
When it comes to buildings, the roof space available for solar installation is a factor to consider, and it's inherently limited. The question then arises, should people be required to make a decisive choice and commit to a single solar technology?
In my opinion, solar thermal energy and PV are not in competition for space, as they need far less space for solar thermal than PV for the same output. There's actually room for both technologies on most roofs. In addition, the heat obtained from solar thermal can be stored much more easily, namely in water storage tanks. In Germany, however, the yield from PV in winter is too low to use it for heat pumps, which is what you need most in winter and in the evening when it is dark, and no battery storage helps there at the moment either.
Okay, let's see if I can get this right. Solar thermal systems generate what we need in most buildings, heat. And since they require a minimal electrical input, it's irrelevant if that input is green or not. So whenever the sun rays are not enough, the storage tank takes over and makes hot water available. And since we still have some electrical needs, it makes sense to use a PV system because both solar-based systems could be used as, like, roofmates. How'd I do?
Awesome!
Now, another priority is the national level implementation of Fit for 55. We need to ensure that solar thermal is considered in the implementation at national level. So this is an essential aspect. The work that has been done at the EU level now must continue at the member state level. Apart from the Fit for 55, we are also closely monitoring the national energy and climate plans. They are not dependent on the Fit for 55 legislation, but they are connected in a way. They provide insights into whether the member states are moving in the right direction concerning renewables.
So Alexandra, I mean, with Fit for 55 closing shortly, and then all the other legislation that's coming up, there is a lot of work to do in terms of, making sure thermal gets high priority, and also strengthening the position with all of the new politicians and policymakers that will be coming up at the new elections in the coming year. So how are you feeling about yeah, what's coming up in 2024?
I'm optimistic about the future. The new legislation and the new directives have paved the way for the further deployment of renewables. Also, solar thermal market data has shown a 12% increase in 2022, and the forecast also appear promising. Our association is growing, and I feel and I see that we are becoming more vocal in Brussels, and I think that's a very good thing. Now, although there is still a long way to go before we achieve an ideal scenario for a decarbonized energy system, I think the progress we are making is very encouraging. I have a bit more than 3 years since I'm with Solar Heat Europe, and I really feel that this year the narrative has been changing a bit. Also, what I see in the media, also what we see from policymakers, I think heating and cooling is getting more attention. I think this was influenced by the energy crisis, and which was labeled many times as a gas crisis, but actually it's a heating crisis.
I couldn't agree more with you, Alex. Heat is now part of the energy conversation, and solar heat is starting to shine. What better way to close this first season of the Heat Changers podcast in English than with such a positive feeling?
And thank you for giving me a voice in this podcast. It has been a pleasure to contribute and share insights into EU energy policy, particularly focusing on my favorite solution, which I think is also yours, solar thermal. And I hope these episodes and our discussions will help people to learn more about these important topics.
As a final word, I would like to emphasize that all technologies have their right to exist, but they should be used where they make the most sense, and above all, as a system. Thank you, Marisol.
Yeah, this is a great note to end this season of the podcast on. And I just have to thank everyone again for, yes, helping demystify this complicated topic for me. I have a whole new appreciation for the renewable energy that's feeding the heaters in my living room right now on this chilly November day. Thank you, Marisol, for the work that you do, our solar heating. I can't wait to hear what's next.
And are you ready to become a heat changer?